T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The hosts at WEEI rarely want them to speak.
You are a bunch of dumb MFers.
They put up with absurd requests for the past week.
Go to the Crack Shack, tell them Mutt sent you.
And now they've left the control room to get behind the mic.
You're marketing abrasiveness, and it's changing talk radio.
This is the WEEI Producers Show with Tyler Devitt.
What I've said is not accurate. Forget it. Delete it from the system. We'll dump that, and it won't be on the podcast.
Chris Scheim.
After a 4-0 victory, Eduardo Rodriguez struck out 8, only allowing 1 run in 5 2/3 innings.
And Ryan Garvin.
Now, I need to close it out, because I know you got more, Garver. I know you got
Garver?
More, Garver.
Garver?
On WEEI.
This is the show that markets abrasiveness. Welcome into the WEEI Producer Show. We got Ryan Garver. We got Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Devitt here. We got Nick LaPanta across the glass early morning here, guys. How you guys doing? You doing good?
Oh, I'm great.
Like the new open?
That was pretty
funny.
Nice.
We needed one. It was so funny. We had Christian yelling at us, Robert Kraft saying it is what it is. We had to give it a nice little fresh pop to it, so I liked it there. Let's start with the Red Sox trade deadline. We were looking up the winners and losers right before we started the show here, and the Red Sox, not really in either category, but if I were to ask you guys straight up, where would you put them in the winner category or the loser category around Major League Baseball? The Red Sox, where would you go?
It's easy. Loser.
Yeah.
Absolute loser.
Easy.
It's tough to say, I think, based on the expectations that Red Sox fans were going into the trade deadline with. You know, Max Scherzer might be available. Craig Kimbrel might be available. I like Kyle Schwarber, but you can't overlook the fact that none of their major glaring holes were ignored, basically. I know, you know, long-term is important, but
yep.
Short-term, you got a good team right now. So it is very tough to say that they're winners. I actually saw... Where's that tweet? John Heyman. Deadline winners. You guys ready for this? Number one, the Dodgers. Then you got the White Sox, Yankees, A's, Mets, Giants, Braves, Padres. You have Houston, Toronto, Cincinnati, Philadelphia. Number 13, everybody, would be your Boston Red Sox.
So yeah, that's horse.
I say if you're 13, if you're listening, I'm sorry, he does have Seattle listed as a loser, but if you're 13 out of 13, can you really call yourself a winner?
The two major needs that you had were first base and starting pitching depth. You want to know what you did? You went out and got Kyle Schwarber, who may or may not be able to start a couple games at first base. I don't even think that he will, but you got Kyle Schwarber, and then you went and got two relief pitchers who have a combined ERA of over 10. One has a 4.91 ERA. The other one has a 5.59 ERA.
And it looks very likely like Austin Davis is not necessarily big club guy.
No.
Yeah, may go to Worcester.
But that's the kind of move.
You address no needs. You literally needed first base and starting pitching more than anything else, and you got neither of them. I'm not asking for Max Scherzer. I'm not asking for the world. I'm asking for a legitimate starting pitcher. You missed out on Scherzer. You missed out on Berrios. You missed out on Gibson. You could have gotten anybody, and you got no one. You literally did nothing. So now you're telling us that Chris Sale is 100% going to come back healthy. And if he doesn't, that's on you, Heimblum, because you screwed it up.
Now, I would push back on the idea that they didn't do anything. Kyle Schwarber is, you can't just go, oh, Kyle Schwarber is nothing. They needed somebody that can hit for power on the left side of the box. He absolutely does that. And I'm curious, you know, with you guys and with the audience, if Kyle Schwarber was able to play tomorrow, excuse me, does that change anything? Is it just the, you know, the optics of, well, you know, we're not going to have him until probably mid-August because his hamstring barks at him? Don't you think that kind of changes things if he's able to go tomorrow?
You know what it's like, Ryan? It's like on Christmas Day where it's like, you know, here's a gift card, but we're not really going to make the trip to Target or Best Buy to use it for about 2 or 3 weeks to actually use the gift card. So Merry Christmas. You got this shiny new gift, but you can't really use it. It's
but
like,
it's,
wait, whoa, whoa.
It's
like,
Christmas.
Come on. Like, what are we doing here?
It doesn't feel like a Christmas gift if you're going to make me wait until, you know, mid-February in order to go cash in and go buy a new Xbox controller.
Exactly. So the Red Sox fans are kind of impatient, as all sports fans are. They want to use Kyle Schwarber now. Put him in the lineup, damn it, because he was actually hitting BP in Tropicana last night,
right?
And the sound off his bat was very loud. It's one of the best power hitters in baseball, so I don't think it's nothing, but you're not addressing the need. One thing that Chaim Bloom is actually believing is it did address a need, because Kyle Schwarber, it sounds like he's in the Red Sox plans to actually play first base.
You know, last night we acquired Kyle Schwarber from the Nationals for prospect right-hander Aldo Ramirez. You know, simply put, we think Kyle Schwarber is one of the most impactful hitters that changed hands this week. And we had identified going into this week that a left-handed bat was going to be a target of ours and a huge addition to our lineup. We already feel we have a really good lineup. Kyle, once he's healthy, he's currently rehabbing hamstring injury, has a chance to be as productive as anybody in the lineup. And we're really excited for what he's going to mean beyond what he produces on the field. This guy is a winner, an incredible clubhouse presence, and we feel really good about what he's going to bring to our mix.
So why do you guys think that they felt like a left-handed bat was a target for them? Are they fearing the right-handed pitching of the New York Yankees? Is it just in general you want to add more bats?
I think that's against something right-handers? If you're going to be competitive down the stretch and you want to be a difficult out, you know, come playoff time, you need a guy like that in your lineup that is going to cause problems for right-handed pitchers. And especially with the rules now of your relief guys have to face a minimum of 3 batters, that could really cause problems. So, I mean, you're looking at, in theory, if you have Kike leading off, you could still go Verdugo, Xander, Devers, JD, Schwarber, or flop JD and Schwarber with each other. Maybe, you know, you want to move Devers down and put Kyle Schwarber up. As far as offensive needs, I think they got the best hitter of the bunch. You know,
certainly the hottest.
I personally never thought Anthony Rizzo was ever going to be a legitimate possibility. Personally, I've never been crazy about Anthony Rizzo. Oh, good. He hit a home run. Good for him. I'm psyched he hit a home run for the Yankees. You should be able to hit home runs for the Yankees based on how their stupid stadium is set up.
Especially if you're a left-handed hitter.
No, I'm not as down on the trade deadline, I think, as most are. Because This is going to be really tough, and this is going to be really tough for a lot of Boston sports fans. Patience, I feel like, is going to pay off. Trust the process. Mm. You guys are familiar.
Oh, I'm
with
so
that.
Out on this. I think this is the stupidest
trust
thing.
Trust the process.
You
Sean.
Are you have an opportunity to play for a World Series this year.
Like
you
it are doesn't in, sound you like you're in a, trusting the process.
You are in a position to compete for the World Series.
Were they a first?
You need to
away?
Buy something. You need to do something.
If they had a moderate upgrade over Bobby Dalbec, are they still going to beat Houston in a 7-game series?
If you go get Jose Berrios, you have a shot. Like, these guys were
Chris
in
Sale.
Play.
You're getting Chris Sale, you're getting Tanner Houck.
Good for you. So you have Nathan Eovaldi, Chris Sale going into the playoffs. Who's your third starter? Eduardo Rodriguez,
no,
who we just watched
no,
get
no,
absolutely
no.
shelled the other night? Or Nick Pivetta, who hasn't thrown a curveball since July 4th? Or Martin Perez, who's also been getting shelled recently.
And that really,
or Garrett Richards, who forgets his jacket on the airplane, and he's going to be cold in November.
That you know what? That is the one downside of this is we were led to believe by Alex Cora, Chaim Bloom, anybody connected to the team that was talking about Chris Sale was very giddy about where he was coming. They were always quick to remind us that we're not looking like this is going to be the guy that yes, we can say that we're the only team adding Chris Sale, but this doesn't really alter anything for the trade deadline. So it puts, frankly, too much pressure on Chris Sale to go out there and perform. And honestly, I don't think Chris Sale is the kind of guy that's like, whoa, you guys are really putting me in a tough position.
No.
I think he embraces stuff like this. But yeah, it's tough. Especially the you know, just hours after we went through this, you see Martin Perez go out there and just get absolutely shelled. And yeah, Garrett Richards is struggling, but I actually give that guy a lot of credit for where he has been the lack of popularity, all the things that he has said in his post-game press conferences that has made people nutty, the spider tax stuff, he was clearly affected by that, and he's still going out there and trying new stuff, which for a guy who's a 30-year-old pitcher who's been doing this a long time, that's why I like sports. We're supposed to root for people to overcome adversity. But with Nathan Eovaldi, Chris Sale, in theory, yeah, maybe you would have liked to see a Jose Berrios. You didn't have the prospects, which is why I'm not cranky.
I think you do have the prospects.
I feel like every team that wanted a big name like that, you were never going to get Max Scherzer. You weren't going to get Anthony Rizzo. All these teams overpaid. Don't compare yourself to the Yankees. The Yankees are an absolute dumpster fire right now. That team legitimately sucks.
And I don't think you needed to go after Rizzo, though. And you had the prospects to get a guy like Berrios. You did. You could have afforded to give up one or two guys to get Berrios. Like it was very conceivable that they could have traded Blaze Jordan and Jeter Downs. You could have done that.
I don't know if Blaze Jordan and Jeter Downs gets it done. I mean, the guys that the Blue Jays gave up were high prospects in their system. And quite frankly, those guys did all the work. We had a call yesterday at OMF be like, oh, why don't they just do what the Dodgers did? You can't compare this team to the Dodgers. The Dodgers have already done the work. The Blue Jays have already done the work. Tampa Bay, all they do is stuff like this where they never let guys, they don't like arbitration, quite frankly. So they move on from guys and they have more prospects. More prospects you can go in and get guys like this without having it affect, you know, your bottom end of guys that are coming up. The Red Sox are not there yet.
Yeah, but how many World Series has that gotten the Rays? None. Because that's not how you win in baseball.
Well, they don't have a payroll like the Red Sox do.
Exactly, but that's why you can spend. Like, you have the opportunity. You are the Red Sox. Chaim Bloom, you are now in charge of the Red Sox. This is not some schmuck little market team. This is the Boston Red Sox. Like, use a couple prospects. I'm fine with not getting Scherzer. Because Chaim Bloom said before the deadline he wanted control. I'm fine with that. I'm cool with consistency. But you could have gotten a guy like Jose Berrios. You have another year of control on him.
Why won't you trust the process, Sean?
Because the process is stupid.
It doesn't sound like you
How
trust
did that work
process.
Out for the 76ers? They're still not in a final. Like, I don't care about no process.
You're citing
Go get
teams
a guy.
That have been wildly mismanaged.
Thank you, Mad Dog.
But you're also saying you trust the process. These are the teams that were using the process, and they all suck still.
Did you think they were going to win a World Series going into this year?
No.
Did you think they were going to be in it for the division?
But they now have an opportunity to. So now, if now all of a sudden you have an opportunity to, well, we didn't expect to be here, so we're not going to make any moves. Well, that's a crappy way of looking at it.
But
you need to be way more aggressive than that.
And the big problem that I have as someone who isn't a Red Sox fan is it seems like they're trying to stay under the CBT once again because they don't want to pay the repeater tax. Once you start it and it elevates after each year, you go into it, of course. You got to pay Xander. You got to pay Devers coming up. There's guys that you have big contracts looming. And it seems like the goal here with a team who could win a World Series, like you were saying, is to stay under your financial ceiling. That seems insane to me because no one thought this was going to be a World Series team. Now that you're at the halfway point of the season, past the halfway point, past the 100 game mark, and this team is one that has a legit shot to do it. So why wouldn't you invest in a team that could do that? And I understand not going to get that first baseman because it honestly sounds like, and we'll hear from Chaim Bloom in a second about Kyle Schwarber playing first base. That does seem like the plan. So if that is the plan, and they trust having Tanner Houck and Sale coming back, in addition to Eovaldi, Erod, Pivetta, two of those three making a top four in the playoffs, that's pretty lethal to go with a damn good lineup. So I'm not as crazy as saying they did nothing and they have no shot, but the investment was not enough for me.
They were already, I think they were so much further ahead of where a lot of these teams needed to be. That's why you saw Houston go out and get relievers that
they desperately needed.
I don't understand why the Yankees were like, we're going to go grab Joey Gallo. He hits a lot of home runs. Like, that would be a great outfield in 1962, but they didn't really address anything that they needed to address. They're still easily the most unathletic team in baseball. They're still going to, they could set a single season strikeout record. Don't look at what the Yankees did yesterday and be like, damn, I wish we were them. No, be very, very grateful that you're not the New York Yankees right now.
617-779-7937. We'll hear from you Red Sox fans about what you think that Chaim Bloom did in his first real trade deadline. We're not including last year. It didn't really count. I don't even know if they actually had a trade deadline that 16-game season last year. So Red Sox fans are obviously pissed about it, and I want to hear from you at 617-779-7937 or text us to the text line for the producer's show, 37937. I want to get to Chaim Bloom. He's talking about Kyle Schwarber, and the big question is, why didn't you get a first baseman? Well, the reason is they think he can play first base. Here's Chaim.
How do you see using Kyle Schwarber? Obviously, defensively, it seemed like first base was a big need, but he doesn't have any experience there.
Yeah, in a perfect world, we would have been able to get someone with Kyle's impact, who also has a lot of first base experience. He doesn't. We are going to take a look at him over there. He's excited to do it. This is someone I would not bet against. To really do anything that he sets his mind to on a baseball field. This is a guy who blew out his knee and hit 400 in the World Series in the same year. So I wouldn't bet against him. But even if that doesn't come to pass, we think the impact with the bat is huge, and there's going to be a lot of ways for him to help us. It's going to allow us to feature much stronger lineups, especially against right-handed pitching. It's going to allow us to take care of our guys down the stretch, give more days off when needed to some of the guys we've been leaning on. It's going to deepen our bench, when he's in there and when he's not. So if we get where we're trying to go, it's a weapon we can really, really leverage in very important games at the end. So hopefully, we're excited to see what working with him at first base is going to bring, but we really like the impact even without that.
So Rafi's obviously your most feared power hitter, your most impactful one, but am I crazy to think that Schwarber's now number two, maybe ahead of JD Martinez in terms of, you step up to the plate, big game, Kyle Schwarber's up there, and like in terms of the fear factor he strikes into an opponent, I'm obviously biased. I'm wearing a Cubs sweatshirt right now. I love Kyle Schwarber. He went to Indiana University, my school, but this guy is one of the most feared hitters in baseball. I feel like people are sleeping on this.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case, though. The guy's a career 233 hitter. Like, he's not...
Go to this year. What's this
he
year?
He is your 250. Good for him.
New era baseball player.
This is not a 300
a nine,
hitter.
A 910 like, OPS.
Yeah, because he hits 25 dongs.
Oh, he just fell into 25
yes,
dongs?
Yes, he's hit 25 dongs. And he's hitting 250.
I hate.
Good for you. Mark Reynolds
you know
could
I
do
hate?
That, too.
I
he
hate
hit 40 home runs a season and hit 230. He made a career out of it.
I hate when I fall into 25 dongs.
that's a tough spot to be. But, like, this guy has played one career game at first base. And we think now he's going
like
to be a
first
baseman.
Like, it wasn't even one game.
It was like one inning in 632 games.
It's more his like defensive versatility because he was a college catcher. He was drafted as a catcher. He played left field, right field. He played the entire out. Well, not center for the Cubs, but he can play all over.
Like
and
so
I think he can adapt to it.
I look at Schwarber here as a luxury, right? Like it's nice. We got another left-handed power bat that's pretty good. Like he's going to add value to the lineup. I don't discount that. But at the same time, like you needed, in my opinion, and I said this yesterday with Gresh too, like you needed starting pitching and you got none of it. Like you didn't even get a depth guy. Like that's where you're at right now. You got two crappy ass bullpen arms and then Kyle Schwarber. And I'm saying it, I'm upset and I'm saying it like I hate Kyle Schwarber. I don't hate Kyle Schwarber.
Sounds like you hate Kyle Schwarber.
No, I hate the way Chaim Bloom handled the deadline is what I hate. And I'm unfortunately taking my anger out on Kyle Schwarber.
Did the Jim Bowden report about Sox ownership is encouraging the Max Scherzer trade, did that affect, I guess, the perception of what Chaim Bloom did or
did
not do?
That's why everybody's so cranky today. It obviously, it affected the perception. And I think it's very likely that, you know, John Henry got out his rotary phone and I said, where's Chaim's number? And said, look, if you want to do this, you have our blessing to go out and do this. And I imagine Chaim said, thank you. I appreciate that. But that's not what I have in the cards because we can build this team to be competitive every year, but also have the prospects so that we're not scraping the bottom of the barrel, that we're not like where the Nationals are going to be in a year or 2 years. You know, they had to get rid of everybody now. Look at the Cubs.
Yes.
Cubs in one World Series.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, we're going to talk about it because if Chaim Bloom wasn't managing the assets of this team, you could very well be the Chicago Cubs. Okay, you know, one World Series. That's great. But everything else around it, not so good. And quite frankly, that's what the Red Sox have been. I always thought that I would, you know, if you could tell a baseball fan, look, you're going to win a World Series once every 4 years, but three of those years, you're going to be really bad, and you're not going to be competitive, and you're not going to want to invest any time in this team. Initially, I would have said, okay, because I like the one World Series. But I think also based on how terrible the product was last year.
Living it's different.
I kind of needed this season to reinvigorate my enjoyment of baseball. It's been great. Let's not pretend that this trade deadline has wiped out all the good vibes that this team has put out the 3 months leading into it. They're still a damn good team, and they are a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, but now if you get into the playoffs and your pitching gets shelled, you're going to look back at this and go,
okay,
we could have made a move.
What's your biggest concern with the pitching? Is it
the starting pitching?
In the playoffs, you only go with your top four.
Two.
Are you concerned about
maybe?
So it's Sale, Erod. Are you putting Erod in there?
No, I'm counting Eovaldi, Sale.
Eovaldi
is your two, and that's if Sale comes back 100%.
Are you counting Tanner Houck?
So here's the thing about Tanner Houck. He's young. I don't think the Red Sox should be counting on him to be
one of your
playoff starters. Like, okay. I think he should be like David Price out of the bullpen for the Rays. Like, he should be maybe your fourth starter. Like, maybe he can start a game four, or he's a long reliever if somebody gets hurt or gets shelled early, something like that. Like, I think he can have a presence in a playoff run, but I don't think he's one of the cornerstone guys there. I think you needed another legitimate starter to make sure that coming into the playoffs, you had three guys. Because let's face it, in the baseball playoffs, you don't need five starters. You just don't. CC Sabathia, for crying out loud, used to pitch every 3 days. That guy was an absolute machine. So, like, you don't need five starters in the playoffs anymore, but you need three legitimate ones. And after Eovaldi, and hopefully, and this is all banking on Sale coming back 100%, because if he doesn't, if for whatever reason he's not the same, or he's still rehabbing the injury a little bit, and he can only go three or four innings and be anywhere close to the Chris Sale we know, you're in bad shape. You have then one legitimate starting option in the playoffs.
It sounds like you're overreacting to, I mean, Nick Pivetta should absolutely be in this conversation as well. I know Nick Pivetta hasn't been
maybe more so than Erod
overly strong. And that's a great point, Tyler, because frankly, Nick Pivetta, the last three games out, not great, but overall his body of work has been very impressive. That's one High and Bloom can go, all right, that's a check mark in my box. That's a thing I did. All right, you're welcome. Whereas with Erod can be so maddening sometimes because he had a lot of stuff going into the season, obviously not playing at all last year. You know, when we would have Alex on OMF, he was always very quick to say, look, this guy is one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball. And when he was saying it, I was apt to believe him. Early on, I was extend him. I don't understand what you're waiting for. It could be a Josh Beckett thing. He's not playing really well. Give him money now. And guess what? Maybe he'll take it because he's like, wow, I'm really sucking out loud, and they're offering me some money. I better take it. Erod, I still hold out hope for, that he is going to figure out what he is doing wrong. Alex Cora always says it's execution. He says execution with Martin Perez, and I don't think it's this quite the same as when he's saying it with Eduardo Rodriguez. With Martin Perez, and by the way, that's the guy who I think is going to be your odd man out once Chris Sale comes back. Martin Perez he's great with the fans. I think that's wonderful that he engages as much as he does with the people on social media, but he just doesn't have the stuff to overpower. Like, he got into a 3-1 count yesterday, and I can't remember who he laced a fastball to, just trying to gas him and beat him, and he got crushed.
A Rosarena?
It might have been a Rosarena. It's like, dude, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but man, you're just not that dominant to go out and pitch the way that
you're
you
not
do.
That guy, pal.
Whereas
you're not that
guy. Dude, Eduardo Rodriguez, guy, I have more faith in his stuff. And when, you know, AC says, look, it's his execution. He has to attack guys. That was the most maddening thing about Erod, is he had this stuff to get you 0-2. But then he would come back and it'd be full count. So you have these unnecessary 6-7 pitch at bats against Eduardo Rodriguez. I think that's a guy long term. Invest in him, Nick Pivetta, Chris Sale, Tanner Houck, you know, who knows? Maybe Garrett Richards is a long guy. You know, Martin Perez could be a long guy. I'm not so down on this rotation as Scheimann. I'm sure a lot of other people are because they weren't able to get Jose Berríos, who I, again, say, you didn't have an Austin Martin, all right? You didn't have the number five pick in the draft ready to go.
I mean, I didn't even pack a jacket.
Look at what Michael Chavis got you, for God's sakes. Michael Chavis was the number one.
I'm surprised it was an actual human.
I'm shocked. Two things that shocked me is Michael Chavis having any value and Pablo Sandoval having any trade value whatsoever. As I predicted, he was released. I would not be
within 6 hours.
I mean, what are we doing? That was a salary dump for the Cleveland Indians.
That's actually why Terry Francona stepped away from managing. He's like, I don't want him anymore.
Yeah, you know, you're going to see Pablo Sandoval back in the San Francisco Giants uniform very soon. No, I don't know. Maybe it's because everybody's so down on him right now. Maybe it is because they lost last night in, you know, lackluster fashion, and they haven't been super sharp coming out of the All-Star break. I think they're like, you know, 9-5, or, you know, it's not what they were doing early on that has made them so good. But I still think that this team is going to be a problem for a lot of other teams, you know, down the stretch and going into the playoffs.
That is Ryan Garvin alongside Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Devitt here for the WEI Producer Show. Nick LaPan across the glass running the board, taking your calls at 617-779-7937. Seeing a flood of text here, Chris, about the take you had about the pitching, calling you an absolute clown. We will address that on the other side of the break. This is the WEI Producer Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
Hi, there was a report that ownership encouraged you to make a push for Max Scherzer. I'm wondering if that's true, if you can address that at all. And secondly, if you had any sense of whether he would even accept a trade to Boston.
Yeah, I obviously can't explain everything that gets out there. You know, without getting into any, specific, I'm not going to address whether as a player who's not our player, what he may or may not have done. But I will say that report isn't true. We felt nothing but supported and encouraged by ownership. Obviously, talked to them a lot about different possibilities and things that we might do. But there was never any pressure to do anything other than what's right for the Red Sox and what's right for our goal of sustainable championship baseball.
All right, so I'm not buying that at all. It's Chaim Bloom saying, no, there was no pressure. My boss didn't tell Jim Bowden of The Athletic publicly, I'm encouraging trading for the biggest guy on the market. Oh, that's no pressure at all. Chaim, if your boss comes to you and says, oh, I encourage you to go for the biggest guy on the market, that's almost a mandate. In my mind, if a boss in any workplace comes to you and says, I'd like for this to get done, you better go damn get it done, right?
Yeah, I don't think they outright said get it done, though. I would assume that they probably came to him and said, if he were to do this, we wouldn't be mad about it. Like, they were giving him the pass to do so, but they weren't being like, we should go do this.
The Jim Bowden report said ownership was dreaming of a Sale Scherzer 1-2 combo. You were saying you need that in the playoffs, and pitching obviously wins, as Glenn will tell you that over and over again.
Yeah, you dominate.
But if you're dreaming of a Sale Scherzer 1-2 combo, Chaim Bloom almost felt like he probably had to do it. And that almost felt unfair that got leaked to Jim Bowden. Like,
thank you.
What is John Henry doing?
You know what? As we were kind of talking this out, I kind of, that just clicked with me. What a weaselly thing for Red Sox ownership to do is to put that pressure out there. Because now, if you're not thinking Max Scherzer, then, I mean, I think we're all kind of the belief that, yeah, this would be really tough to do. And especially when you look at what Max Scherzer and Trey Turner went for, you go, I kind of get it. I'm happy that you didn't do that, and I would like to think that you don't bring Chaim Bloom in here to have him do what Dave Dombrowski did. That's why you fired Dave Dombrowski and brought Chaim Bloom in here. But, yeah, you know, we're really kind of a backstabby kind of thing. Like,
right.
Like, all of a sudden now there's really, like, an unnecessary amount of pressure on Chaim Bloom that wasn't there before because of expectations that are now being realized of a team that we didn't even have these expectations about going into the season.
Right. Like, it's not Chaim Bloom telling Jim Bowden, yeah, my bosses, the Red Sox ownership, they're encouraging me. They're dreaming about this. No. It's John Henry. It's maybe Sam Kennedy. I mean, who else could it be in terms of Red Sox ownership speaking out to Jim Bowden? It's not Chaim Bloom saying this. So it does seem unfair, and it kind of set like an unfair bar because you went from Max Scherzer, the number one guy in the market, to Hansel and Gretel. Like, this is it's just very disappointing. It doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah, I don't think, to be honest with you, I know, like, the rumors or whatever, this article was out there about Scherzer, but, like, I never felt like Scherzer was realistic or the right option anyways. Like, it's a 3 month rental. And yeah. Chaim Bloom, if we're going to go on consistency, again, said with Bradford like a month ago that going into the trade deadline, I want to have control. If I'm going to pick up a guy, I want to have control. Max Scherzer is the definition of not having control. Like, you get him for 3 months, and then there's a good chance he go get paid $200 million by somebody else.
It's neat that he was willing to veto, you know, okay, if you trade me to the Red Sox, I would be okay with that. Like, there were reports that said he, you know, Tampa Bay was interested. He didn't want to go to Tampa Bay, great. But the criteria was West Coast team that can extend me. Well, that's great, but, yep. You know, I understand. Look, Max Scherzer probably going to be a Hall of Famer, but do you want to pay him $20 million a year for a contract after you've acquired him? I'm all set on that. I want to see what this team develops naturally. Some homegrown pitching talent would be really refreshing for a change because you haven't had anything like that since John Lester. That's why I'm kind of bullish on Erod. Yeah, I know the Orioles drafted him, but the Orioles don't seem to be able to value any pitching prospects and let every single pitcher go to do bigger and better things.
How about that name you just threw out, John Lester? He was traded from the Nationals to the Cardinals.
He went to the Cardinals
for like a box of laundry detergent. Yeah. Like, it was nothing. Like, it was absolutely nothing. And wouldn't that be a guy that would be an improvement over Martin Perez?
I
think so.
Moderately, sure. I think if they're like, hey, John Lester's coming back, I don't know if I personally would have been so excited about that. Read some of these Shime's an idiot.
Yeah, let's start with that. I don't know where this one came from. Shime, did you shave your head?
No. So Gresh and I were discussing this yesterday that I may just go full shaved head. No, I haven't committed to it.
Summer
yet.
Buzz.
So yeah, I may just, well, because I'm losing a lot of hair on the top of my head, guys.
I had noticed.
I'm balding big time. That's why I wear a hat every freaking day.
Don't buy it. Yeah, don't buy it.
So that's why we're just debating. Might as well just, you know, buzz it all off and kind of see how it looks, see how it feels. I wear a hat anyways. It's not like people can see underneath.
From the 774, the season still has COVID protocols. I think a big trade could hurt you this year and in the future. This season and the league still has question marks. I don't really see this as like a COVID season anymore. That was last year. It was like an anomaly year with 60 games. I think we're past that now. Like, yeah, the results from last season, I think you take with a grain of salt. Like, guys like Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and JD Martinez without the film, they were horrible last year. They've all pretty much bounced back now. So I don't really see that as a COVID season.
Yeah, I don't see this as a COVID season. And I don't think a trade would make, like, all these guys are getting tested all the time anyways. Like, it's not, I don't think a trade would make it a more COVID-affected season than it already is or would be or whatever.
Somebody on the COVID list was traded yesterday. I have to go back and look. But
I'm surprised that's allowed.
Somebody on the COVID list was traded.
Yeah, it shows
that just like the DL. Like, you're allowed to trade guys in the, or IL, sorry. You're allowed to trade guys in the IL. They just probably can't meet with the team yet.
And I do agree with the last part of that text in the sense that, you know, baseball is not necessarily headed in a great direction. I hope everybody's enjoying the product this year because there is going to be a work stoppage. There's just too much nonsense. The CBA is up. I didn't feel great about it as they were trying to figure it out last summer with everything going on with coronavirus. Just kind of knowing that this is an inevitability in the Players Association and Rob Manfred and MLB don't get along, and he's going to take things that we as fans really, really like as far as the changes to, you know, extra innings and the changes to having pitchers face a minimum of three batters so you're not constantly doing one for one, the idea of a pitch clock. Those are all things that are going to be used against the players, you know, in the CBA, and it's going to suck. And unfortunately, I think it is going to lead to a work stoppage, at least, you know, in the early goings.
A few more texts to 37937. Let's go to the Shime. You're being an absolute clown. This is from the 617. Shime, you're being an absolute clown on the starting pitching. What on earth are you overreacting like this for, man? Settle down.
What am I being a clown about?
You're overreacting.
Your pitching sucks. You just watched Eduardo Rodriguez get shelled the other night. You just watched Martin Perez get shelled yesterday. What am I overreacting to? You 20, have nothing.
20 runs in two games, Shime. 20 runs.
So that is trending down.
Yeah, it's
a good thing it's not
here's
a two-game
season. I understand that you have to take the whole body of work. And overall, Pivetta, you're right, has been better than advertised. Like, he's been very, very good, especially the beginning of the
Everybody
season.
Everybody on this
awesome.
Team has been. There was, but the expectations were so in the basement with this team. Every single pitcher that they have trotted out there has been better than advertised.
But this is, like I said, this is the Boston Red Sox. This is not the Tampa Bay Rays. This is not the Texas Rangers. This is not some small market dinky ass team. This is the Boston freaking Red Sox. If you have an opportunity to win the World Series, you need to do something. You did basically. Kyle Schwarber was nice, but he is not the. He is not going
very
to make a
man.
Difference. Yeah, I bet he's a very handsome man. He looks good. Nice grizzly beard.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm into that. But the issue is I don't think he's going to be the difference between you winning and losing a playoff series. Because you want to know the biggest flaw in this team? It's the starting pitching. That's why I'm freaking out. That's why I'm upset. That's why I'm mad. You need pitching.
See, I think a lot of people, you know, I was not happy when we hit 4 o'clock yesterday and no moves had happened. And then I slept on it. And I woke up and I, you know, was a little more rational about it. And I'm like, you know what? I think I can be okay with the direction that this team is headed in. Because don't you think that there were producers on a producer show in Chicago somewhere going, the Cubs need to do something.
And then they did. They sold the house.
Yeah, and look what it got them. One World Series, and now they're selling pieces left and right to teams that are better than them, that have planned better for them.
Guys,
the Yankees are doing the same thing.
All these people
are
holding on to prospects like they're gold. Half the prospects don't even pan out. Look at Yoan Moncada. Everybody was, oh, Yoan Moncada's going to be so good. Now he's doing basically nothing. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Yoan Moncada's still an everyday third baseman.
Good for him. And he's still not great.
One of the better teams in baseball.
Yeah, and you know what? He wouldn't be playing here anyways because you have Rafael friggin' Devers.
But short
like
of...
People need to stop holding on to these prospects like they're going to grow in value every year forever. Like, not every guy pans out. And you have to take risks. Now, I'm not saying sell everybody. I'm not saying give away everything.
These
I'm not pulling a Dave Dombrowski.
Round draft picks in the NBA draft. Like, these guys, that's what they
matter.
Do. When you have a prospect, prospects get better year after year. This team doesn't have the equivalent of a Yoan Moncada unless you're so quick that you want to get rid of Tristan Casas. He's not ready yet. He's playing in the Olympics right now. But there is not a caliber of prospect yet that is at the level of a Yoan Moncada where you could be like, you know what, we can get the Chris Sale.
He was
of,
like
of
the top prospect
deadline.
In baseball for 1 year. Like, Yoan Moncada was
really
a major, major
got
prospect.
Chris Sale back for
yeah, and
him.
He's a fine major leaguer. But that's my point.
But you don't trade him because the ceiling was that he was going to be a superstar. He didn't meet that ceiling.
I would rather address. So here's the thing: you can have a guy like Yoan Moncada who's the number one prospect in baseball, and he becomes a fine everyday baseball player. He's not going to be an all-star or an all-pro every year or whatever, but he's just going to be fine. He'll be an everyday starter. Good. So you held on to that for an everyday starter when, I don't know, you're first in the division, you have an opportunity to win a World Series, and you could have used that guy to get somebody to help win a World Series. I prefer the trophy. I'm going to be honest with you. I prefer the trophy. I don't really care if this team peaks and valleys, and I understand that that's not what Chaim Bloom wants to do, but if we're winning trophies every other year, I don't really care.
We're getting a ton of texts here to 37937. We plan on getting into some Celtics. We probably have to scrap it at this point, but we're getting a ton of these. I love these texts. From the 781, John Anderson just woke up drunk in a dumpster. That sounds about right. He's normally here on a Saturday, but he's, what, in Nashville right
yes,
now?
Correct.
And I saw some Instagram posts where he was just marveling at the craziness of Nashville. If you've never been, it's absolutely wild.
It's awesome.
I can imagine John Anderson there. That would be a scene.
Yes.
That would be insane. Let's see what's going on here. From the 690, they put it out there they were going to upgrade to win a World Series, and Bloom completely mishandled the messaging/optics. That's the problem. He lost the psychological war. The team will most likely slide backwards for the rest of the summer. Good luck selling tickets with that move. I don't think the ticket thing is going to be a big deal.
Fenway's going to be sold out the rest of the year regardless.
But I think there's something to say about the psychological factor because there was so much momentum leading up from basically Tuesday, Wednesday to the trade deadline yesterday. I mean, Lou finally bought in on Max Scherzer. He convinced me and you, Ryan, about that.
I'm pissed for making me believe in Max Scherzer.
The momentum was real in terms of, oh, they're going to do something. In the media and the fans' minds, that was absolutely real.
They got Kyle freaking Schwarber. Yes, they got the best palpable left-handed hitter that was available to you. And like I said, if he was able to play tomorrow, we're not having this conversation. We're going, damn, that's a good acquisition.
But the point I'm trying to make is this texture, I think, has a point about the psychological factor. The momentum's real with us, the outside factor. It has to be real with the inside the locker room.
Absolutely.
That you're like, oh, Max Scherzer, we're in the talks for that. That's real. Ownership is actually pushing for this. And then you get Hansel Robles and Austin Davis.
I can't speak to this. I was never in the clubhouse. So someone like Lou might be able to speak to this better. But I feel like if you're in that clubhouse and they go, you know what, we're gonna bring in a guy like Max Scherzer or even Kyle Gibson, who's having a remarkable year. Granted, it's probably an aberration, but he's having a great year, right? You bring in a guy like that to kind of boost it up. It's like, wow, our ownership, the people upstairs believe in this team just as much as we do. Like, that's encouraging. Like, that should build you up. And yet, again, we went and got Hansel and Gretel and going to be taking the taxi squad back and forth from the Woo Sox.
So if they come down at 4 o'clock and they said, listen, we didn't get Max Scherzer and we didn't go and get Anthony Rizzo and we didn't get Joey Gallo. Why? Because we believe in the group that we have here.
It seems like a cop-out.
How is that a cop-out? You're like, oh, there's going to be this psychological damage because they didn't go and get Jose Barrios.
Why didn't they just say that beforehand? Because if you're going into the deadline and there's rumors out there that, oh, ownership's really pushing for Scherzer, and then all of a sudden after the deadline, when you couldn't get anybody, you come down and say, guys, we really believe in everybody here. That's a cop-out. That is an absolute job. There's no way, because as a normal person, I'm like, I don't believe you.
No, that's Chaim Bloom going, yeah, you know what? It's all well and good that you want to get your Max Scherzers or whoever, but we don't need a Max Scherzer. And quite frankly, I think the reality is they don't have the assets to go and get a Max Scherzer. If you want to set yourself back even further and hey, we got to sit through what we sat through in 2019 and 2020 again. No, thank you. I'm ready to try this. I know I said at the beginning of the show, one World Series in 3 really terrible years. Uh-uh. I don't want to do that anymore. This is the path I want this team to take, is to be smart, to be competitive, to make me believe that you have a chance. And even if you don't win it, it's going to suck at the time. But the big picture, it's going to pay off.
Apparently Belichick just said, quote, Cam's our starting quarterback.
Yeah, the reports from camp right now.
We
a little bit of breaking news for you. There you go.
We can ignore that. I want to squeeze in Jason. Jason, line 2. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. That's all we got here. Give me your Red Sox take on the trade deadline.
So my biggest thing was I wanted somewhere in between Jake Peavy and Nathan Eovaldi. Peavy was a guy that came in and he just ate up innings to save the bullpen, whereas obviously Nathan came in and was a postseason hero and obviously got the good contract afterwards. Anything in between would have been fine. Anything better than Eovaldi would have blown my mind. They did neither, and I just don't know how to handle it.
Jason, how concerned are you about the starting pitching going to the playoffs?
Getting there is the problem because everybody else got better and you stayed the same.
I like that. Yeah, concerned about actually getting there.
But if you're already better than all the other teams, they're catching up to you.
But, like, I think he's right. Like, I don't think you needed – I said this. I don't think you needed a Max Scherzer trade. I think you needed starting pitching depth. I think you needed a guy that no matter what was going to go out there every 5 days and he was going to be a legitimate starting pitching. He's a starting pitcher. He's going to give you 5 or 6. He was only going to allow 1 or 2. Like, I felt like that's what you needed, and you didn't get anything.
This is the WEI Producers Show. That is Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Devitt. We're here until 9 o'clock. Then the Ken and Curtis Show follows us. And I believe it's Fitzy out. Fitzy and Mego. Fitzy is out today. It's Tom Curran in the slot.
Mego and Tom Curran.
So yep. Mego and Curran for 4 hours later on this afternoon. So that's coming your way. That's the schedule for this afternoon, Saturday, a beautiful day here in Boston. We'll wrap things up for the Producers Show next.
Now back to more of the guys. The WEI Producers Show.
Will there be an open competition for starting quarterback during this training camp? every one of us has to go out and establish our level of performance and whatever our role or capacity is. So it's a new season. You know, we've done some things in the spring, but this is really the start of football season in terms of the team building part here in training camp. So we all have a lot of work to do. That includes all of us. So we go out and do anything, then it's pretty much a clean slate.
So a clean slate, including the quarterback situation as well?
Including the coaches and all the players.
So apparently that clean slate lasted for 72 hours? Because now we're shocked to see this tweet come across their timeline from Mike Giardi, Blue Checkmark NFL Network. 9 minutes ago, Bill Belichick says, quote, Cam Newton is our starting quarterback. One breath after saying they'll evaluate the position from a consistency standpoint and from a production standpoint, saying, quote, I'm sure it will be a hard decision.
Man, so
saying,
short leash out there.
Throw it and he skips it along the turf for Harry.
I don't want to see that again. So he says in one sentence, I'm sure it will be a hard decision. And the next sentence says, Cam is our starting quarterback. Your instant reaction, Ryan Garvin.
It's not so much a Cam Newton thing, but I really kind of honed in on the whole, the whole idea that this is going to be a clean slate for everybody going forward. So clean slate for Cam Newton, right? Has he really shown out that well in the last 3 days? Not from the reports I've seen.
I hope
he's
it's
been fine.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. My immediate reaction is I told you so. I told you. Hey, Mac Jones, he may be fine.
Oh, you're
fine.
Not taking a victory lap
yes,
now.
Yes, you're damn right
oh,
I am.
No, we're out of
Cam
time.
Cam Newton's going to start week one, boys. That's how it's going to be. Cam Newton's going to start the majority of the games this season. That's how it's going to be. Oh. And I'm not saying that Cam is that much better than Mac Jones, and I hate Mac Jones. But at the same time, I told you, Belichick's loyal to this guy for whatever reason he is, and that's how it's going
to
be.
We are not taking
0-4.
We're not taking a July 31st victory lap about Mac Jones being bad.
I'm taking the victory lap that I said Cam Newton would start week one. Cam Newton will play the majority of the games this season.
I hope this is a situation where the Cardinals, where they're like, oh, Josh Rosen, yeah, he's our starter in February, and then 2 months
Draft
later they traded
Murray.
Him.
Like, surprise.
Yeah, they traded him like, psych, you're not the starting quarterback. Psych. We're going with somebody else. So maybe Belichick's playing mind games with the week one, opponents and the media as well and the
it's
fans.
Working with us, clearly.
Nobody Jesus. Wants to see Cam Newton play quarterback. We like
I'll
Cam.
Take it. I'm fine.
I like Cam in the interviews. Wiggy loves Cam. I don't want to interview Cam on OMF. I want Mac Jones because he should be the starter.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, Andy Dalton was named the starter in Chicago, but we all know it's going to be just
QB1. No, Andy Dalton's going to start the season, unfortunately.
That's a farce. That's Ryan Garvin. That is Chris Scheim. I am Tyler Devitt. Thanks for joining us here on the WEI Producer Show. The Ken and Curtis Show is next right here on EEI.
See ya!
See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.